We are on Mem Amud Beis. We just got to finish up this little piece that we really should have added on as a coda to our last year, but because we're just did the Amud, so we stopped there. But three lines from the top of Mem Amud Beis, it says, Man Tana Lo Tana Rabbanan, who is the Tana, which here means the author. You know, Tana can mean different things sometimes. You know that? Tana, of course, means a Tana. If I have to text you this year, it means that you're on your phone. Tana, of course, means a Tana, a person that was alive in the times of the Tanoim. A Tana can also mean one of these people that was an expert memorizer. Sometimes you'll say, Tana, Tani Tana Kame to somebody. The Tana learned something in front of someone else. That refers to the personality called a Tana, which was a guy that was an expert memorizer. He actually had all of the braises memorized, and instead of having Sfarim back then, it was Dorish Baal Peh. So the Gedolim would say, hey, Tana, tell me the braisa, you know, in Masechta or whatever, on whatever Mishnah, you know? And they had them all memorized. So who is the Tana here? It means the author of the following. Thanks, Yosef. Tana la hadatarban. Who is the author of the following braisa? Le'achla v'loi le'melugma. Le'achla v'loi le'ziluf. Le'achla v'loi la'asos yimena apiktavizin. Period. That when the pasuk, if you remember the pasuk, yes, it's lachem la'achla. That was the mitigation between the two words. On the one hand, it's lachem; on the other hand, it's la'achla. So it sounds like there is a mitigation of how much shvius is yours, and that if you remember, it had two important nafkaminas. One nafkamina was the definition of what has kedushas shvius, and the other issue was what are you allowed to do with your peros shvius. So this Tana of this particular Braisa said what the word lachem le'achla, the achla is a mitigation, it's an exclusion. It's not yours for every purpose, it's only yours for achila and not for some other purpose. What's the other purpose? There's a list of three things. Number one, the melugma. Anybody remember what that means? Melugma? Medicinal. Ziluf. Ziluf literally means like a dripping. I don't know exactly. I'm not sure historically what this meant. Maybe in some of those fancy Gemaras they have more. What? I was going to translate it, but I don't really know. I can't picture what that really means. That it was some kind of dripping of wine or something they used to do.
A mist of wine.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly what it meant. I'm not exactly sure.
That's what
a mist? They made it into a mist?
They say it's sprinkling.
Yeah, I know that. What does that mean? How do you sprinkle wine for good smell?
You take it and you just whatever.
Anybody ever been to Yosef's room?
You dip your hands in it and you do like this. Like kind of like when you're trying to dry your hands.
Okay, Yosef wants to argue you dip your hands in your wine and you do a flappy bird. Okay, that's what Yosef thinks that this means. Okay, we'll go with that. I don't know, but that's what it is. It was not the drinking of the wine or the consumption of the wine in any way. It was some kind of potpourri that they made with the wine, but it was with actual wine. And then somehow through the dripping of the wine into something, I don't know, but somehow that's what they did and it smelled nice. So that you're not allowed to do. And then finally, the last one is afiktavizin. What's that?
Make yourself
grow. Yeah, that's lovely, right? So this is some kind of thing that people would eat and it would make them vomit, which definitely is not the way that you eat food. So those are the things you're not allowed to do. But apparently these are the only examples. Well, is there a tzad hashaveh? You know what tzad hashaveh means? Tzad means what? Side. Shaveh.
Equal.
Yeah, so tzad hashaveh means the side that's equal. Well, normal English, how do we say that? You've got to be kidding me. Tzad hashaveh means what in normal English? The common denominator. Right? That's how we would normally say it. Tzad hashaveh means common. What is the common? What's the tzad hashaveh between these things? What are they again? Medicine?
Medicine, the fragrance. And
fragrance. Can we come up with a better word for that? But what do you call it?
Sprinkling was really.
What? What? There are things that people don't do all the time. whatever. But there are things that happen. They're basically medicinal or some, you know, the rich people have some sort of potpourri in their houses, you know, back then. It's a type of thing that certainly is not for every person and not for every day. But anything which is for every person every day, it sounds like alternative uses of Perush Shvias would be acceptable. So that's what the Gemara says, Kiman Rabbi Yosi, that's only like Rabbi Yosi. Because the Rabbanon, if it's the opinion of the Rabbanon that this price is reflecting, Hayikanami Mishuk Vusa, if you remember, they said you're not allowed to soak your flax to produce the linen in it, and you're not allowed to do laundry in it. So they're going to exclude a lot more things than just things that are unusual uses or not regular uses. Yeah, you with me? Mm-hmm. So this price is according to you. See, that's all. So that's what the Gemara
is. Assumes that whatever anyone, most or all people do, rather than just some people do.
Yes, that's Rashi's opinion. That's Rashi, and that's what this price reflects. Okay, moving right along to today's topic. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Shvias Mischaleles Ela Derech Mekach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Derech Mekach, Bein Derech Chilul. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Shvias, Peiros Shvias, are only Mischaleles. Okay, well, let's not get confused. Mischaleles, literally, right? Chalal means? Hollow something out, to take away its Kiddushah, to hollow it out from its sanctity. So when we say Mischaleles, the implication is we're removing its sanctity, and perhaps transferring, well, always, I guess, transferring its Kiddushah to something else. Yeah? Now remember, as a rule, that will never happen by the original Peiros. The original Peiros Shvias, Peiros that grew during the seventh year, and by the way, in Yovel, it's going to be 2 years in a row. You with me on that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you have that cycle of 7 times 7, 49, but then the 50th year, which is called Yovel, is another Shemitah year. So it's actually 2 years in a row that you have all of the halachos of Shemitah. So,
when's the next year? What's the next one? Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not holding. I'm not keeping track. Gotta live in Eretz Yisrael for these things, right? So, when we say Shvius is on Mischaleles, it's a little tricky. What do we mean? It could mean one of two things. The real mischaleles is that you're taking away the kedusha from the food and transferring it to something else. That's a full mischaleles. It's possible that we just mean you're taking the kedusha and it's also being chal. It's also resting upon or transferring to the other item. Why am I saying this? Because if we're talking about the original fruit, can you remove the kedusha from actual Peiros Shvias? No, you cannot. That's what we discussed this morning. It's similar to tumura. By tumura, when there's a person designated an animal for a karban and you want to transfer it to a different animal, you say, Bessie, I can't believe I've designated Bessie. We got to let's go with someone else. So then they both become Kodesh. By Peiros Shvias, the same thing happens. If you try to take away the Kedusha of Peiros Shvias, meaning you transfer, you sell them, then the Kedusha goes to the money. But it does not remove the Kedusha from the fruit. That's important. Yeah, you with me on this? Yeah, we together? So the language here, Ein Shvias Mischaleles Ela Derech Mekach, what do you think? Is that talking about the original fruit, or is it talking about a secondary fruit? Meaning, let's say that you already have money, because you did sell, someone did buy some Peiros Shvias, and now the money now gains Kedusha Shvias. Well, you don't want the money to have Kedusha Shvias, right? So you're going to buy food with that money. And now what happens to that food? It gains Kedusha Shvias and has to be treated like it's actual Shvias stuff. Whatever those nafkaminas are. Yeah? Okay. Now, can you take the Kedusha away from that? Anyone else up there to talk to? The answer is yes. Thanks. Nice. Once you have money, which isn't inherently kadosh, right? The money got the kedusha because you bought some Peiros Shvias with it, right? And now the kedusha transferred also to the money. So that money, you go ahead and you buy fish. Well, the fish now has kedusha shvius. Now, fish don't have kedusha shvius. You know what I'm saying? They don't grow from the trees, and you know most fish don't grow from trees. So that fish, can you transfer the kedusha off of it? Let's say you trade your fish for some meat.
Yes, you can.
You can, and now the fish becomes no longer with kedusha shvius. Yeah. So you tell me, you think this brisa is talking about the original fruit, or you think it's talking about what we'll call secondary fruit? So the word mischaleles would definitely make more sense if we're talking about secondary fruit. You with me? Yeah?
Right.
Somebody, should we say this again?
It's mischaleles because it's saying that that's an indicator that it's you said it's like hollowed in the sense that it's transferred.
Right. The word mischaleles in the ideal sense is that you are removing the kedusha from one thing and transferring it to something else. So mischaleles literally means to hollow something out, to make it ois kodesh. It's no longer kodesh. That's what mischaleles should mean. Now that can't happen with the original peiros shvius. You can't be mechalel the peiros shvius. So it would make the most sense to say that we're discussing secondary fruits, transferred. You know what I mean by that, yeah? Can I use that word, secondary food? Are we okay with that? What I mean is that I bought food with money that had kedusha shvius. So that's secondary kedusha. So there you can remove the kedusha from it, yeah? So I would be the most comfortable saying that this brisa must be talking about secondary types. Because otherwise, mischaleles, it's not really precise. Yeah? I feel like I'm getting a lot of brain stares. Yeah? Okay, so I don't know if that's true. I'm just trying to learn the sugya. So the word mischaleles implies that at least right now to me. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar says, Ein shvius mischaleles eler derech mekach. How are you mechalel the stuff? You have to sell it. By selling it, then the kedusha transfers to the money. Good? What is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul. You're right, it also works if you sell it, the kedusha will transfer to the money, but there's another way too. It's called derech what? Chilul. What does that mean? What's derech chilul as opposed to derech mekach? This is the ABCs of the sugya. If we don't know this, we're not going to be able to get through the sugya.
Mekach is a sale.
Mekach is a sale. So it's for sale, you buy it, it transfers, the kedusha transfers to the money. What's derech chilul? Yeah, it's some kind of redemption on your own. On your own, there's no other seller. There's no buyer. There's no seller. There's no even two people. You, on your own, in your room, you go ahead and you take the peiros shvius and you say, I am being mechalel this food, whatever they may be. I am removing their kedusha and transferring it to these coins, this fish, meat, I don't know, whatever it's going to be. Yeah? So it's an action of transferal of kedusha or redemption to remove the kedusha from the original thing. Do you need a buyer and a seller?
No.
It's just almost like ceremonial. You're on your own. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that works too, and Rabbi Lazard says, no, I will not let them go. Yeah? So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Lazard and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has two options to transfer the Kedusha, and Rabbi Elazar says there's only one possibility. You have to do it through a sale. So now the Gemara says, where are they coming from? Where in the world did they get this from? What's this machlokus about? What is it rooted in? My time in the Rabbi Elazar. What is the reason for Rabbi Elazar that it has to be through business, Mekach u'Memkar? Tichsiv, as the Pasuk says, B'shnasa Yov Elazaris. The psukim that the Gemara is referring to now is referring to the year called Yovel. As I mentioned to you before, Yovel basically is a second Shemitah year. It's like two Shemitahs in a row that year, which is really unbelievable when you think about it. Farmers not doing anything for 2 years in a row, and then hopefully the crops are going to be okay, like, you know, in the next year. It's like an unbelievable thing.